The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I am Phil Hendry, and this, then, is what I do on my show.
I work at a wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah?
And this guy's completely whack. If somebody shows up at our plant
whack.
With a bag full of duty, we don't want to deal with him. But bottom line is...
Yes,
our
that's right. I pretend I'm somebody else, and then people call in thinking
water.
That that person that I'm pretending
that. So
to be is real,
that,
and
human waste.
No, but Matt,
people are generally made fools of.
If a guy shows
that's
up
me doing that voice there.
We don't want to deal with
and that
it.
Poor
it
kid is talking about working in a waste management plant, not knowing that he's talking to a made-up person.
Some nutball showing up with a bag full of crap.
This is what I do in my program. I welcome you.
What do you think?
Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Now, why did I start the show today with an example, just a little slice out of my show? I was thinking today as I stood out on Ventura Boulevard in Sherman Oaks, California, just before I started my program. I was staring at the traffic going by, and I began for some reason to think back on something somebody had said to me once. They said that when you die, you don't really go to hell, and you don't immediately go to heaven. What happens is you immediately begin to experience the emotions and the feelings of every person that you ever harmed in your life. And while it's a finite period of time, if you can actually measure time in the afterlife, it nonetheless is like going to hell. For however brief or however long a period that may be. That when you die, you feel the feelings of everyone you ever wronged, anyone that you ever hurt, anybody that you ever did harm to. If you think about that, and you start thinking back on your own life, as I started thinking about my life, it can be kind of daunting. You can start wondering how bad did I... you know, hurt this person, how bad did I hurt that girlfriend, how, you know, did I do any physical violence to anybody? It's exactly who are the people that I hurt. Forget about the things that I did well or did right. Who did I hurt? And I was standing out there on Ventura Boulevard thinking these thoughts, knowing that I was going to go upstairs and do my show. And I felt at that moment, you know, I'm really proud of what I do for a living. And I thought, wait a second. You're proud of what you do for a living. Do you know the people that you've chumped and schmucked over the years? The people who have suddenly realized that it was you doing that fake voice? Maybe people who had heart attacks. Maybe people who drove their cars off of a freeway because they were so angry. Somebody who went through emotional angst, fear because of some phone prank that you were playing on America because you were doing your phony little voice and people were buying it. Do you know, Hendry, what you have in store for you when you die? You are going to go through not just the feelings and the emotions of people that you hurt that you know, but millions of people that you never met. You, Hendry, are scum.
Do you guys still have all those temporary greens out there?
Yes, that's me doing fake voices.
We don't have temporary greens. We have one of the finest...
Now listen to this guy.
...in America.
Well, what about that big tire track that runs through the 18th fairway
There's
out
no
there?
There is no tire track. You're out of your mind.
Listen to that guy. He's about ready to have a heart attack.
You're one of those guys who's probably never played golf. You just have a big mouth and you're a troublemaker.
No, sir. I remember.
Yes, you are.
Well,
you're one of those. I'm a white man, and I would never think or speak the way that you do. You bring hell onto other people.
Do you hear what he just said? You bring hell onto other people.
Dump that you had near the 16th green?
What temporary? And have you golfed there?
No, but a friend of mine said that Cheviot Hill, they had an outhouse.
You don't even have friends. A man like you can't have friends. You have people who laugh behind your back.
Well, have you guys finally seeded your course? Or?
What do you mean seeded?
Well, that's what I'm just saying.
We have one of the finest golf courses in the United States of America.
Is there
any
hole in one?
We have championship... We've had tremendous... an idiot.
No, do you have any hole longer than 100?
Listen to me, I'm laughing now, but listen to that guy. I remember when that call came in. I mean, I just about drove that guy to a pulmonary event. Some kind of a pulmonary event. Sounds like a monster truck rally, doesn't it? A pulmonary event. I just about drove that guy to an early dirt nap. And so these were the things that were going through my mind. And I kind of buy that And I have no way of proving it, and I don't want to talk Bible. I kind of buy that view of the afterlife. I think you kind of, I think it's a cross between what Albert Brooks had in Defending Your Life and a little bit of that. When you die, you start reviewing your life. You start looking back on the life that you lived. And if you dumped on people or you messed with them or you hurt them, you're going to have to deal with that. So you're not going to go to hell forever. You're not going to go to hell forever, but you will have to go through a period there where you're... And all of a sudden I realized this radio show that I am so proud of, and we're very proud of the show that we do. Don't speak too soon there, Kemosabe, because you've screwed with a lot of people's heads, and you go home and you snicker, and you think it's just ever so funny. And you go home, Henry, with that smug look on your face. Oh, boy, we really, what a funny bit we did today. We had that old lady. She was crying. She was screaming. It was a riot, yeah? Guess what? When you die, you'll have to go through what she went through. Like this guy.
Alcohol and be drunk on the course.
I'm going to tell
There's
you.
There's insurance reasons for that, you idiot.
See,
you
know, that guy, I'm going to have to go through what he's going through.
Malt liquor and all that stuff.
Oh, you're an idiot. Do you know that?
What, see?
What are you?
Well, look what I've done. Look what I've done.
What's your nationality?
Well, I'm a white man, and I enjoy that a lot.
You're white, but what? What are you? Irish, Swedish, Polish? What are you?
I'm Greek.
You're Greek?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're Greek, all right. You sound
See,
like an
this
idiot.
Is a guy that is going through, while it may be amusing for us, he's going through some trouble there. And he sounds like he might be older, and he sounds like he might have a little bit of weight on him, and he sounds like he's very close to having an aortic valve just blow like a bad gasket. And Henry thinks that's funny. Well, guess what, Phil? When you die, you're going to have to go through what that guy was going through. And countless other people who never called the show. Countless other people who never called the show. Oh, maybe if you like this program, you're a fan of mine, you might say, well, you gave a lot of joy to people. You made people laugh. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's great. But I got to still deal with that. And people have often said, all you do is throw a banana peel out on the sidewalk and people walk by and slip on it. I've always responded by saying, wait a second, a banana peel you can see. A banana peel is something that you can see. You can always step around the banana peel and you can always step around what we do in this program. But can you?
Why don't you come down here on Saturday?
Okay,
listen to him. He's out of his mind.
Come down on Saturday and I'll make sure you tee off real good.
Well, that sounds like a threat.
That's a promise.
That guy is going out of his mind, and I did that to him. So is it funny? I suppose. But I got that to look forward to when I croak. At least that much. And so because of that, and because of that, if you will, realization that I had today of the pain as well as the joy that I have given people, I wanted to make this announcement, and I'm going to do it as quickly as I can. I am never going to do character voices again on this program. We are done. We are going to deal with people straight and honestly from here on out, because I cannot live with the possibility that I'm going to give somebody a heart attack or worse listening to this. I believe the LA Times described it as a 3-hour phone prank that we play on America each day. I'm done doing character voices. I am done doing that kind of shtick. I'm now going to model my program on something a little bit more mainstream. I thank you very much for the support you have given the preceding comedy years of the Phil Henry Show, and I hope that you'll support what we're going to do from here on out. Honest, straightforward reporting. You can rely on me for fair and balanced reporting of the news in America. 1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Henry.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, from yesterday's show, we had a young guy by the name of Kyle called in. What am I saying? A young guy by the name of Kyle called in. It was me doing the voice of Kyle. And, excuse me. Anyway, he called in, and he said that he can't get his wife on the phone. He gives her a cell phone, and she never has it on when she's in yoga, church, or the movie theater. And he doesn't care who it bothers. He wants his wife with that cell phone on so he can contact her because he doesn't know whether she's going to get blown up by a suicide bomber. Let's listen from yesterday's program.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
I just wanted to tell you, Kyle, that you have some serious issues going on here.
No, I don't. I love my wife. I want her to be safe.
There's nothing wrong with loving your wife and being concerned for her safety, but you're possessive.
Well, how do you figure I'm possessive? All I'm saying is I want her to answer her phone. I'm not telling her she can't go out.
Just listen to yourself. You allow her to go to church.
Listen
how many times you speed dialed this woman since you've been on the air. This is ridiculous.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I said to my wife, I don't believe in God, okay? But I said to my wife, she can believe in God if she wants to, as long as she keeps that phone on in the church. Oh, boy. I'm thinking about that preacher who told her when she got baptized that was the house of God, she didn't have to have her phone on. And that's a lie. That's a dirty lie. Man.
Are you still calling her, man? You're going to have to knock that off, okay, because it's going out over the air.
I'm sorry.
This is ridiculous.
What's ridiculous? That I love my wife? Do you have a man who cares about you? Do you have a man who cares about
you?
My wife could be sitting. Did you ever see the pictures of Jane Mansfield after she died? Her head was laying in the street. You think I want my wife's head? Oh, man.
You know what? This is sad. This is sad, and I feel sad for her.
Love is sad. Love is sad.
I feel sad for her because this is not love.
Love is sad.
This is not love.
Look at Kyle, if I could. Does your wife love you?
Yes, she does. Even though I had said she'd marry me. And I don't care who knows this, okay, Mr. Hendry? I don't care who knows it. She married me even though my penis was small.
Look at... Don't talk
about... How did we get on the subject of your penis?
Don't talk about this, okay?
No, but because people think that I'm insecure because of that. And I'm not.
You are!
No, ma'am, I'm not. I just want to know where she is.
Where is the trust?
Excuse me. Have you heard about suicide bombing? Thank you.
I sure have.
Okay, thank you.
Wrong with being concerned. You're right. This is a scary time that we are living in.
My wife
are so right.
Thank
but
you
there comes a point to where you have to trust her. If she says that she's in a class, she's in a class.
Yeah, she's in her yoga class, man. You've been speed dialing her, okay?
She'll turn the phone on pretty soon.
Well, don't keep speed dialing, man. When did she leave for her class?
Her class started about 20 minutes ago.
How long's the class?
An hour.
Well, dude, she's going to have the phone off.
I told her to keep the phone. I know. I told her to keep the phone on. Oh, God, I hope she's all right.
Come on, man. She's going to be fine.
Please, God, don't let her.
Right,
I thought you were a religious man.
That's right. I know. They say there's no atheists in foxholes. Right now, all I can think of one foxhole, and I wonder how she is.
Phil Hendry.
That's cute.
Flashback.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. One other little note that I wanted to make. This is California, where I am broadcasting to you from. And in California is a place called San Juan Capistrano. Perhaps you've heard of San Juan Capistrano, because in San Juan Capistrano every year, myth has it, legend has it, the swallows return to San Juan Capistrano. Perhaps you've heard of the mission at San Juan Capistrano. And every spring, flocks of swallows return, and tourists go there and take pictures of the birds as they make nests and as they do one of the marvelous things in nature. They return to the Mission Bell Tower and make nests and begin to mate for the coming summer season, and it's very, very beautiful. Well, guess what? This year, thousands, if not millions of tourists are going to be disappointed because the swallows aren't in San Juan Capistrano making their nests. No, they apparently didn't have MapQuest because they took a turn left and they're at my house crapping down the side of my windows. So come on over and take pictures and have a box lunch out on my lawn because the swallows took a huge dump in my backyard for the last week. They didn't go to no San Juan Capistrano. I told you about this last week, didn't I? They're at my house. And every morning, and there's my wife. Oh, isn't it lovely? What are you talking about, isn't it lovely? There's bird crap down the side of the house. See, this is my nervous nature. You think that I could stop down for a moment and enjoy the beauty of birds that are using the side of my house as a toilet? You think that I could stop down and groove on that whole thing? Not me. What did I do this morning? You want to know what I did? They're basically, what they do is, if you've never seen swallows, and I'm talking about the bird now, so you can wipe that smile off your face, man. If you've never seen swallows, the bird, what they do is they fly in an enormous flock in the air, almost in a circular motion, and then they will fly right up to the side of wherever it is they want to build their nest. I mean, literally tens of them, almost 100 of these things, and they will land right on the side, and they'll begin to build mud nests using some kind of spit out of their mouth. It's disgusting. And then they take off all at once, and they fly around a little bit more, and then they swoop back up to the side, and they land there, and they continue with this nest building. This has been going on for a week. What I did this morning is I walked out. I was taking the kids to school, so I was up early. So I walked outside. I put on that brand spanking new Engine House number 6 fire hose nozzle on the end of my garden hose, cranked it up to patent pending, and I had a stream of water going out of that thing, man, like I was putting out the freaking Chicago fire. And I just started spraying the birds in the air. And birds have got guts, especially when you're dealing with nature. Nature doesn't back off just because you're a human being. I mean, if they have an instinct to mate, if they have an instinct to build a nest, they're going to do what they got to do. And so they're kind of fighting me. You know, I got the water in the air, and the birds are taking off, and as soon as the water stops, then they come back, and I'm doing battle with these things for 5 minutes with my wife standing up there laughing her ass off. Just laughing her ass. And the kids in the house, they thought it was just the funniest thing they ever saw. There's Henry in his shorts and his little rubber flip-flops and his, you know, his like, KFI T-shirt, cursing under my back, "You dirty fillies." Man, it was serious stuff. So the next step, of course, is, this is the latest that I've heard, an air horn, some kind of a horn, some kind of a, because what I did when I went out there, I went, "Hey, hey, hey," and they bugged out when they heard that. So now I'm thinking one of them little, you know, like an air horn deal. And then here is the ultimate, absolute ultimate insult. One of them tried to take a dump on me. Now, you say to yourself, "Oh, well, Phil, you're standing out underneath them." No. What do you mean the chances are they're going to hit me? Chances are they're not going to hit me because there's hundreds of them and they're not all over me. They're over my, you know, backyard someplace. So don't be giving me that. And the next thing I know, I feel like a little bit of moisture. And I've got this kind of bird, like a, you know, that I don't even want to describe it. But tomorrow morning, life's going to be different. Tomorrow morning, it's... That's the horn I'm going to... That ain't the horn I'm going to use. Yeah, that's the horn I'm going to use, Craig. Tomorrow morning, the horn that I use is going to be one with some impact, is going to be one with some power. Well, it's going to be one that sounds something like this. Where the hell is it? Check this out. That'll scare the hell out of them. That'll give 90 of them a heart attack. Right there. 90 of them swallows drop. They'll never swallow again. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
What's going on in the Middle East? Is it all chilled out? Everybody friends again? Great. 1-800-449-8686. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yeah, this is Robert, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what you said earlier, that was a pretty funny thing you said.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, but you were joking, right?
About what?
About that, yeah. You weren't going to do any more voices.
Yeah, I was joking, but I wasn't joking about the idea that, you know, at least that's what I heard, you know, that when you die, you go through the feelings of anybody that you ever hurt. You have to live through what they lived through.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
You don't believe that?
No, I don't really give a care because all I want to do is listen to you.
You just want to listen to me and then die?
Sure, that's
all
fine.
Right, okay.
You know, but...
But just listen to me and you'll never hurt anybody.
Right.
Yeah. Good.
But I'm glad you were joking because I was going to...
Hey, let me ask you something, man. Where
I was not going to listen to this station no more.
Whereabouts do you live in New Orleans?
I live right by the airport out here.
Is that Metairie?
Yep, that's it.
Because I worked in New Orleans in the 70s, and I lived on the West Bank.
Okay.
But I don't know where that is in relation to, I forget. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so cool. I'll keep on doing what I'm doing, brother.
All right.
Thank you very much. All right, Robert, bye-bye. Robert doesn't care about the afterlife. He just wants to make sure this show stays on the air. So, in other words, he'll listen to this show, and then he'll croak, and he'll go to heaven because he didn't do anything. Here is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Bill, hi.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, Bill.
How's it going? I'm glad you took my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to tell you, you guys do a great job up there. But more importantly than that is, I know you screen your calls and people that call in, but how does a guy that is able to take up so much airtime talking about ignorance of the American flag or using that as his banner that he waves around and be able to say Jack Nicklaus and child molestation in one sentence and not get cut off immediately?
That was a voice, that guy, R.C. Collins, you mean?
Yeah, was that you?
That was me. That was me.
Oh, it was you playing two parts just like Kyle, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well then I'm going to let it go this time, but I tell you what, I damn near went out of my seat, you know?
But this and time you let it go, but the next time I do a voice, you're going to be upset.
No, the next time you do a voice, I guess I'll understand that you're doing these voices on a regular basis. And
yes,
I've
sir.
Heard you do it before, and this guy, man, you had me convinced. I tell you what.
You thought that guy was a real... So you'd heard me do voices before, but you thought that guy was a real guy.
I really thought he was, man. I mean, I come from a military family, and I said, what a poor representation of somebody that's in the military today.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because that... Emotionally, you were invested in that because of the military background of your family. Otherwise, you might have had a clearer perspective.
Well, and I had 10 years background in Saudi Arabia, so I really didn't understand where the guy was coming from. But, hey, it's your character.
So you don't have to worry about it. Now, there may be somebody out there that actually feels that way, but I doubt very much if he'd be in a military academy. Well, I don't know. You know, I can't say.
Well, I hope not, Phil. But
so what did you think about him when he said, and now I'd like to play our anthem, and it was O Canada?
I knew this guy was completely a screwball, but see, I turned the radio off. I got a little frustrated, so I guess I should have finished out the program.
So in other words, when you heard him play O Canada and thought it was our national anthem, you turned the radio off.
I said, forget this guy, man. Yeah.
Had you known it was me doing a voice, would you have kept the radio on?
Probably, just to hear where you were going.
Well, there you go.
So,
and that answers the question that a lot of people ask me. Why, Phil, do you... let people know what you do in the voice. Bill has just given you the answer. Bill didn't know it was me doing a voice. He turned the radio off. But if he knew it was me doing a voice, he would have kept listening. That's why we let people know about this show, so they'll keep listening.
All right. And all right? I understand, and I understand you're provoking people.
Semper
That's
five.
All about radio, man.
All right, bro.
Yeah, excellent, bro. Thanks.
Well, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Now, who's the idiot? No, I'm just joking about that. I got a list here, by the way, of movies that my engineer Craig Taylor, he keeps a little list next to his workspace over here, next to the control console that he works for our radio show. Keeps a little list of movies that have been recommended to him or movies that he wants to see. Number one on his list, What Dreams May Come. That was recommended to him by his girlfriend, Nikki. May I tell you now, Craig, that show blew endless houses filled with primates. You don't want to see What Dreams May Come. The special effects are kind of cool. Robin Williams ain't too good. He ain't too good. It's a cool premise. The premise is a man's wife kills herself and goes to hell. Is it possible the love of a man for his woman, or the love of a woman for her man, for that matter, can actually break the chains of hell and get her back to heaven? That's the premise. It's very interesting. And, of course, it's a line from Shakespeare, "What dreams may come when we shuffle off this mortal coil." Some bullcrap. Don't go see it. It sucks. Waterworld, I recommend that. Dune, really weird. Really out there. They say read the book first, but I couldn't even get through the book. It's a real oddball flick. The Postman, didn't see it. True Romance, I absolutely recommend that. You did see True Romance. What'd you think? Pretty good flick. Everybody talks about the scene between Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken and the eggplant thing, and whatever, okay? Gary Oldman is in it. He's outstanding. Brad Pitt plays a fantastic character in this thing. It's really cool. Also, that guy, Michael Rapaport's really good. Falling Down, go see it. Michael Douglas has got a screw loose as a guy that goes through the hood and, you know, blasts away on minorities. So it kind of gives a white man a little reason to vent. Then you have Blade. My kids highly recommend both Blade and Blade 2. Chris, you like that. Fearless is the one with Jeff Bridges and Rosie Perez. Absolutely got to see that movie, man. It'll blow you away. And then finally, Dusk Till Dawn. You must see Dusk Till Dawn. You must. Now, I know you don't like horror movies. It's not really a horror movie. It's a black comedy. It's a very funny, very out there flick. And it is worth seeing, if for no other reason than Cheech Marin standing at the door of this biker bar in Mexico, welcoming everybody in. He's kind of the greeter. You have to see Cheech's scene, if for no other reason. It's really cool. It's got Harvey Keitel. It's got Juliette Lewis. It's got Quentin Tarantino. And who else? George Clooney, who's really good in it. And, yeah, Cheech Marin. I can't say the name of that bar, Chris. Chris puts up the name of the bar from Dusk Till Dawn. I can't say it. We got FCC. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Here's Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
How you doing? Very good.
Listen. You almost gave me a heart attack. I pulled over on the side of the road, put my blinkers on. I almost got killed, all right, thinking that you're going off the air.
Yeah, we're going to just stop doing all these goofy voices.
No. See, you're all wrong. We got it wrong. I mean, that's what's good about life, general, is your show. I'm telling you.
All right, man. I appreciate that very much. That was me doing a voice, by the way. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The
band, the house band in Dusk Till Dawn, is pretty good. And it's called Tito and Tarantula. And I think one of the guys in that band used to be an Oingo Boingo and nobody. You don't care, right? Okay, great. We don't care, Phil. All right. 1-800-449-8686. So you should see Dusk Till Dawn. One question I have, why is it that television is such a kiss of death for anybody's film career? And don't tell me about Bruce Willis, please. I got it already about him. Why is it that when someone is a successful entity on television, they almost invariably go up in smoke once they do a movie? Now, what is that about? Some people say, well, I got him for free on TV. Why do I need to pay to see him in the movies? Is that it? You can name the people that have gone from television to films and been successful. I don't want to do that. We've done that. That's another show, and we've been down that road many times. But the people that have made attempted to make the big move from TV into films, and you like everybody in Friends, every single person in Friends, without exception, and everybody talks about that guy from NYPD Blue. And, yeah, these are very successful people. Far be it for me to say, well, they must have sucked. I don't know. I don't know why it is. That's why I've decided to not do this deal with NBC. I'm going straight into movies, all right? Thank you. I'm not going to do a TV show. I'm going directly to Mr. Tarantino and his ilk, and we'll do Dusk Till Dawn, Part 5. Craig loses his keys on the way home. I don't know. Craig drops the soap in the shower. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Doug on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Doug? All right, here's Rob on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Good.
Good, good, good. Hey, why, I see you record this and actually play it later in Los Angeles, that's right?
What's that, sir?
You record this and then play it later?
Yeah, yeah, we're on from 4 to 7, but we get delayed in L.A.
They got to get Beavis and Butthead off of that time spot, put you there.
Well, hey, man, they're changing the world, haven't you heard?
Right,
they're
on.
Changing
hey,
the way they're changing the way that you're soaping up your armpits.
Right.
They're changing the way you're brushing your teeth.
Right, right, something like that.
What's up?
I want to say, like everyone else, your show's great. And if you were to be played at that time, I think that you would stop a little bit of the road rage in Los Angeles.
People well, I was laughing. On at that time, and to be perfectly honest with you, we stiffed.
Yeah.
We stunk it up.
Huh, huh.
Actually, I don't know what we did, but I was, you know what it is in L.A. particularly, and of course in the cities where we are on an afternoon in Salt Lake or Portland, they probably get it more than they do in L.A., but Los Angeles is a very conservative city.
Sure.
It has it has Hollywood right in the middle of what is essentially a big Midwestern town, and everybody wants to get in their car and they want to get the news, you know, they want to find out
yeah.
Who died, who got shot,
right.
Who's getting molested, how we can keep these molestations from happening,
right.
What petitions to sign, and yada, yada, yada. And, of course, nothing ever changes, but everybody lives under the illusion that they will change it. And don't I sound bitter?
Very good.
All right,
hey,
man.
One other thing is Jay Santos cracks the hell up out of me. He's great.
Let me ask you a question. Would you buy a Citizens Auxiliary Police baseball cap?
I want a blue armband.
Oh, you want an armband?
Yeah.
Right.
I know, baseball cap would be great. You're right.
We want to start. We're going to start marketing a Citizens Auxiliary Police baseball cap to go along with our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt.
I'll buy two of those.
Cool. All right.
I'll buy one for my buddy as well.
Good.
I'll buy. Is it going to be on anytime soon, you think?
Just as soon as I can go down the hall and ask Debbie if they'll make them.
Right on.
And then she'll sit there and go, "We don't have it in budget, Phil. Thank you." And
right
I'll swing back to my office. But we'll try, man. Thank you.
Good enough. Keep
right.
going.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Citizens Auxiliary Police baseball cap. We're going to do some shot glasses. I like the idea of a shot glass set, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Western Estates Homeowners Association, and a variety, just a set of shot glasses that you can, you know, when you belly up and you do your Patron or whatever swill you drink, I mean, excuse me, high-quality tequila that you drink, you'll remember us fondly. Here is Todd on the Phil Hendry Show. Todd?
How about a How Do You Like Me Now t-shirt?
Yeah, Dave Oliva?
Yeah, listen,
that's good. A Joyful Union whiskey flask?
Yesterday you did a couple of jokes during the priest thing. The one was where Jesus went into the inn with the three nails.
And said, "Can you put me up for the night?" That's from The Crow.
There was a second joke that was a Jesus joke, short one. I don't know if you remembered or not.
What did the priest say to the bishop?
No, it was.
Oh, the other one was Jesus woke up feeling a little cross this morning. See, most of those, we were just reaching for jokes that had already been told because this was the priest, and he was going around and saying these jokes.
Right.
To try to, quote, lighten the mood with all these molestations, and of course he's just making it worse.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is
yes.
The genesis of the bits. It's like today with the, you know, you guys must sit around. And who do you sit around with when you come up with...
Just me and Janice. And today we were in really a bad mood.
We'll do a Tiger Wood thing. And I like the way you started.
Right. We didn't get to that bit till really late. We sat there and we were angry because we didn't know what the hell was going on in Israel. And we didn't give a... excuse my language. We didn't give a crap about that. And then there was... what else? Janice was in the news. Some swill. What? And Botox... you know, the stuff they put on the front page of a newspaper, I don't get. Botox matters to about three homosexuals and some old ladies in Westlake Villa. Anybody that's pumping that crap into their forehead. Other than that, when's the next time you're going to get some Botox, Todd?
Well, I don't know.
Have you had your hands on anybody's Botox?
Well, if I could.
So these are the things that are in the news. And we didn't want to do any of that. So we kept talking and we kept grumbling. And then Chris came in and I gave him some crap for not getting any magazine subscriptions like he said he would. And then Janice looked, hurt because I wasn't accepting any of her ideas. Until finally it was Janice who said, "Well, Tiger Woods, what if we, you know, why don't you try the voice again?" So I did the R.C. Collins voice. I said, "All right, we can do that." And then Janice, you came up with a whole idea on the bit we're going to do next hour, right? Which is Bobby and her husband. Well, I don't want to say. But it's real sick and twisted. And when we finally got to that, we felt good, and we felt like we'd actually put in a day's worth of work. But some days we go in there, first hour or two, I want to blow my brains out. I want to, if the windows in there opened up, I would just do a George Reeves. I would just, just right off onto Sepulveda, right out in front of the El Pollo Loco. So in case anybody needs any extra salsa, there I am. But today, all's well that ended well. I thought we came through in the pinch. Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just, you got me laughing so hard I had to pull over about the swallows.
Yeah, from Capistrano.
I had the same problem in Minnesota. I was out there with the hose. The kids were laughing the whole shot, and I had to just call you to tell you what the solution was to keep them off the building.
Yeah, what?
Balloons.
Now, what do you mean?
Have you tried that?
I go out, I have a birthday party outside, and they'll get scared?
Well, you can do that, but take the balloons from the birthday party and somehow tack them up along the building. They won't come near them. They won't
like
come near
helium balloons, and I could tie them to strings and anchor them in the yard and raise the balloon up to the height of the top of my house. Is that what you're getting at that?
You could do that. I did it with a ladder and just regular air-filled balloons.
See, I'm going to go home now, and I'm going to do that, and Jim's going to go home and have the biggest laugh of his life as Hendry goes outside and raises balloons up to the side of his house. My next-door neighbor, who runs our homeowners association, maybe you've heard of her, name's Bobby Dooley, she'll have me put away. Then my house is really going to look good. With balloons. Are you serious?
Serious. I really am. I really am. It's the only thing. I mean, I scraped those nests off. I had cedar siding. I scraped the nest off. I hosed them off high pressure. They all came back. Until I stuck the balloons up there, and then they'll have to go make a nest elsewhere, and then they'll leave your spot alone. But
and how about if I go outside dressed in clown makeup and just stand there all afternoon? Balloons.
There's one to try, yeah.
What did you do? Did you tack the balloons? How'd you secure the balloons to the house?
Just a tack. Blew up the balloon, tied them off like normal, tacked it up.
What made you think of this?
Somebody told me that had the same problems.
I'll do it.
It worked.
I'll do it. I guarantee I'll do it.
You may laugh.
How many balloons?
Oh, I just put them about every 4 feet, 4 to 6 feet.
Every 4 to 6 feet. And they're freaked out by the balloons, huh?
The movement, the light wind, I guess they just don't like to see something like that up where they're building a nest and they're young.
Dude, I'm there.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
You bet.
Bye. Or otherwise, at this point, the birds have been dumping down the side of my house for a week. How long do they come around for? They got to be splitting someday. Balloons, huh? Do you know what's going to happen on my street? When they see, there's that nut that does that radio show. Now look what he's doing. He's putting balloons up. Call the police. No, really. No. I'm tired of this guy. Him, his goofy wife, his wacky kids, and his crap can radio show. Now he's hoisting balloons up and driving the property value right straight into the toilet. Nobody wants the freaking Cirque du Soleil next door, okay? Call the cops. How about balloons and a big rubber pelican on my roof? I bet you that'll just create the mood. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.